See, ignorance is relative. What is there is absolutely only pure knowledge. So reality is in the form of pure knowledge, otherwise called pure consciousness. And pure consciousness is not an object, is not even the subject. No attributes, source of knowledge. Therefore, not even object of thought, not object of perception, not our word description also. So how we are going to arrive at the reality? That is why Upanishad uses a very unique methodology to help you arrive at it through individual analysis. Only through an individual analysis, only as the truth of the individual, the truth of the whole cosmos has to be arrived at. See, if you want to know what the water is, you have to arrive at the water only where the wave is, isn't it? As the truth of the wave, there only you have to arrive at it. You can't go and search for the wood outside of the furniture. It has, but where the wood is, there only you have to search for it. The reality also has to be arrived at only where there is nowhere. Therefore, there many methods are used. Drik Drishiveka Prakriya, Panchakosha Prakriya, Avasthatre Prakriya. All these Prakriyas are used only to analyze the individual, to arrive at the truth. And then when you arrive at it, that is why this Avasthatre Prakriya helps you. What is waking state? What is deep sleep state? When this knowledge of the existence of the self in terms of I am obtaining in the form of thought is, only then there is also knowledge of the existence of the world obtaining in the form of thought in terms of the world is. And that is waking state. When this knowledge I am obtaining in the form of thought is not there, there cannot be knowledge of the existence of the world also in terms of the world is. When this knowledge is not there, it's a total ignorance. The total ignorance is what? It is a state of experience, state of deep sleep state. So when the manifestation of knowledge is not there, we say ignorance is. That ignorance is only relative. So ignorance which is opposed to knowledge. When the ignorance is there, knowledge is not there. When there is knowledge, ignorance is not there. Isn't it? When there is knowledge, there is universe shines. So what is this universe? When the knowledge is, universe shines. Therefore, manifestation of knowledge is, universe is. The universe is knowledge manifest. When the knowledge manifestation is not there, manifestation of knowledge obtaining them of thought is not there, thought is resolved, we call it ignorance. It's relative. The universe doesn't shine. So knowledge does not create the universe. Knowledge is, universe shines. Knowledge in the form of thoughts resolve, there is universe sun manifest. Universe doesn't shine. That is called power of knowledge. Isn't it? So that is why I said last, towards end I said, I gave the example, when the waves, the stillness of water is disturbed and the waves rise, waves are nothing but water. The wave forms resolve, what is there is pure water. And why do I add the adjective pure? There is no such thing called pure water or impure water, just the water, to distinguish the water from the water obtaining in the form of thoughts. I add the adjective pure. Water in the form of waves, and pure water means what? Waveless water. Pure water. Similarly, there is knowledge, which is when this manifestation of knowledge in the form of thoughts, there is the universe. And the thoughts resolve, universe unmanifest. When the thoughts resolve, what is there is only pure knowledge. I want you to see this fact, there is no such a thing called absolute ignorance. Ignorance is only relative. What is only pure knowledge, which is source of knowledge. The knowledge is that which knows. The ignorance and knowledge is free from knowledge and ignorance. Understand now, it's free from what? Thought. Two states. And that knowledge is what? The source of ignorance. The source means what? The source of knowledge is the pure knowledge. There's no ignorance. Which knows ignorance and knowledge is pure knowledge. That is the absolute reality, which is absolutely what is there is only knowledge. Is it clear now? Therefore, Maya is a term used to mean the avidya, the total universe, total cosmos. So that's why that which is not is called Maya. What is only jnanam, knowledge. Is it clear? So we say it's only power of, we say it's power of knowledge, jnana, shakti. It is the power of knowledge which is manifest as the universe. Okay? And the same power of knowledge resolves is called pure knowledge. The universe is unmanifest. When the universe shines, it doesn't shine. Power of knowledge manifests as the universe, or it is unmanifest, as unmanifest also. Is what? When the knowledge is the power, the universe unmanifest, there is a pure knowledge. Doesn't exist outside of the reality. Is it clear? You can simply say, what is this? Only just the, you know, this knowledge. And now I tell you, this pure knowledge is para prakritihi. The power of knowledge which is manifest otherwise known with the Maya is what? Apara prakriti. Okay? Pure knowledge, consciousness is para prakriti. This power of knowledge which is manifest as the universe, which it resolves, is called unmanifest. Power is what? Power is unmanifest, is pure knowledge. There is no such thing called ignorance. Is it clear? Absolutely. Relatively, there is there. And which is called apara prakriti. And are they separable? No. They are not separable. Do you see the fact of inseparability of the consciousness and this power? No. Inseparable. And when you look at this, you understand this reality as the pure knowledge and its inseparable power. You look at it, para prakriti and apara prakriti. Look at this reality as the intelligence of the material cause of the universe. The Ishvara status is attributed to the reality. And this power alone is said to be what now? Said to be of three gunas. So sattva gunaha, rajo gunaha, tamo gunaha. I told you already, we cannot go and perceive three gunas. Three gunas again are the names attributed to this only power of reality, manifest as threefold powers. The capacity to know, the power of knowledge, the capacity to do, the capacity to desire, and even you can say jnana shakti, iccha shakti, kriya shakti. Also, the power of inertia, the power of activity, the power of knowledge. Manifest. So how do you see? The power of knowledge manifest is what? Knowledge, perception, understanding of thoughts. Sattvikaha bhavaha. The power of knowledge manifest as anger, desire, pain. So what? Power of activity. And the delusion, ignorance, dullness, confusion. It's all power of inertia, tamogunaha. So, threefold powers. Only power manifest as threefold manifestations, you see. They're called three gunas. When there is manifestation, naturally, the total attention is what? Grabbed by the manifestations. So, attention is grabbed by the manifestations. Therefore, we say here, Tribihi gunamayehi bhavehi ye idam jagat mohitam. So, all the manifestations, only two factors here, isn't it? It's exactly like how when the waves rise and dance all over, the waves are many. The plurality of the number, the many, the plural in number, and they move around. So anything moves grabs your attention, draws your attention. And the water loses, it doesn't draw your attention. Isn't it? Similarly here also. And the whole the world is so wide and vast and innumerable countless beings here, forms and things. Natural attention is grabbed by the whole world. Then we lose sight of the very reality. Reality is one uniform, colorless, unmoving, motionless. It cannot draw your attention. Suppose Vidyaranya Swami says in Panchadashi, there's a stage on which many dancers come and colorfully dressed, and they are dancing. There are so many colors, abhinayams, expressions. We are all watching. And for us, the dance is so real. The dances are so real. Why? The movement, the colors, the way they appear, everything is very impressive, very attractive. So all focuses are only on one thing called what? The dance and the dances. The number of dances, the expressions, the colors, the costumes, the bhava, everything grabs our attention. Anything moves very attractive. But we never pay attention. Everything is over. Ask, what is happening on the stage? The dance program is over. The dances go away. Dance is over. What is there? If we ask somebody, they'll say nothing is there, everything is over. But nobody will take the pain of saying, yes, there is one thing called, important thing called light, which is still there. You know why? Nobody pays attention. Who considers the presence of the light? But I tell you, how important the light is. Light is one uniform, motionless. But without that light, if there was only darkness, what would have happened? Think. Colors, dances, expressions, the bhavas, costumes, dress, what could you have seen? What could you have seen? The whole show would have been a flop. It is that light, isn't it, which lends existence for the whole life was possible because of the light. But do we ever pay attention to the light? We go all to watch the dance only, not to see the light. But without light, there can't be some show, isn't it? Exactly like that here. Without this para prakritihi, the pure knowledge, the power of reality, which is not really there, which is as though there, is inseparable, which is alone is in the signing of the whole Jagat, means the whole Jagat draws our attention. Jagat drawing attention is okay, but what happens? We lose sight of the truth. In fact, everything, the attention is only in the seen. We never pay attention to the seer at all. The seen grabs the attention. The seer is completely forgotten. Your seer is the seen mistaken to be a seer also. See what I'm saying? Therefore, this is how here Shastram says, there is absolutely there is no ignorance. There is a little there is ignorance. Ajnanam karanam, when we say ajnanam mola karanam, samsara karanam, when you say here, the human being of all the beings, the most evolved being is the human being. The most sophisticated being is the human being. Because it is human being only in human mind, not even the human shariram. Human physical body is like any other physical body. Like elephant's body or monkey's body, buffalo's body, same way here. The level of manifestation of knowledge is only limited there. Only human mind, the human being is superior because he is endowed with his unique mind. Where there is manifestation of knowledge in terms of I am, knowledge of existence of one's own self in terms of I am, is only in human mind. It is, as Estes explained, it is this knowledge because of which error is also possible, identity is possible. If knowledge is already total, then there is no bondage, there is no birth, it is not possible. This is the highest term of manifestation of knowledge in terms of I am. This is half knowledge. And there is no knowledge what is I am is. What is I is not there. Not known. Therefore this I am is identified with what? The rest of the thoughts, rest of the body, rest of the aspects which constitute the individual. Therefore there is adhyasa. Atasmin tad buddhi adhyasaha. You have I sense in everything which is not I. Therefore, there is wrong identity. And as I explained to you how, because of ignorance, and that's why you don't need to feel guilty about being ignorant of the self. Oh, I know I am, I don't know what I am. Is it not wrong to be ignorant? Okay, it's natural to be ignorant. But you can't afford to be ignorant always. One day ignorance has been, you know, addressed. This ignorance, and this ignorance results in adhyasa, erroneous self-perception. Erroneous self-perception results in adhyaropaha, superimposition of limitations of the non-self upon the self. And because of which there is wrong identity, there is wrong notions you have about yourself. And all the wrong notions you have about yourself are expressed in the form of what? Anything you express adding with I am. I am so and so. Wrong notions. And use these wrong notions result in the cause the pressure of this disease. Even the phenomenon called desire itself is expression of what? Wrong notion about yourself. The needs are, this emotional need comes. I want to be bigger than what I am is emotional need. Emotional urge. I want to live long happily is an urge. Therefore there is need comes, then the desire comes. Desire results in action. When you perform the action, desire, either desire gets fulfilled or doesn't get fulfilled. The desire gets fulfilled, new desire comes. Always, the more number of desires you fulfill, the more desires rise. That is the nature of the desire. Desire will never get put off completely. disease will be there. Continually, how many of your diseases you fulfill, disease will continue to be there. The disease do not get fulfilled also, there will be anger, there will be hurt, there will be frustration, there will be disappointment, discomfort. And there will be reactions on your part. So the disease unfulfilled also, you are disturbed, very disturbed. Disease fulfilled also, what now? Gives rise to new disease. Why? The fulfillment of one desire will stop with that. Because desire is symptom of the disease of sense of smallness inadequate on I. And which is caused by what? Ajnanam, basically. As long as ignorance is there, whatever you do, disease can never be destroyed. Disease can be resolved for good when the ignorance is resolved. We are not destroying ignorance also. Ignorance has to be resolved. If you discover what you are, ignorance will resolve. It is not destroyed. We never destroy ignorance. Ignorance is resolved in the wake of knowledge of what this is. Is it clear? Therefore, so desire. And the deceiver, desire is always what? Desire is fulfilled. It also gives rise to new desire. Unfulfilled desire results in hurt or pain or frustration or whatever it is. Unhappiness, there comes problems. This is how human beings' life is full of problems. They are unhappy. Things don't happen to your expectation. This will be there, natural. And once you perform the action also, karma produces palam. And even if the result is produced by the karma, all results are not exhausted in the same immediately. Results are of the nature of fructifying. They take their own time to fructify. Therefore, the results remain unexhausted sometimes. And these unexhausted results, they have to be exhausted sometime. And even before this lifespan ends, you have lots of karma. Before even exhausting all the results of all your actions, the lifespan ends. That is why you have to come back, assuming a new body, to exhaust the karma, which is called punarjanma. Understand? Therefore, this continues. It is be endless. It is called samsaraha. Understand? You're born with ignorance, born ignorant, half ignorant. And I explained to you already day before class. That is why we don't need to worry about other animals, other beings. Okay, they're okay. They're blessed with the natural instincts. Every being in this world is blessed with adequate knowledge to live its life. A bird is blessed with adequate knowledge to live its life. A monkey, a donkey, any animal, any creature, even the tiniest ant is blessed with its adequate knowledge to live its life. It's perfectly all right. You don't go and consciously hurt any living being. Okay? You have no right to hurt any beings. It has its own space to live. It's okay. It's fine. All the beings are okay. That's why no other being comes to you for any tuition class. How to live my life. Free coaching classes are paying fees. Okay. How to live my life. How to relieve my stress. They don't need meditation classes. No retreats. No shastra teaching. Every being is blessed with adequate knowledge to live its life. That is why we say, we are understanding Ishvara is another way of understanding Bhagavan. When you say Bhagavan as this para and apara prakritihi, Bhagavan is manifest as the whole. When you say, there is no place where this pure knowledge is not. Everywhere there is knowledge. Whether the knowledge is manifest or unmanifest, not manifest, still what? There is pure knowledge. But only thing, where there is knowledge, manifestation of knowledge, there alone knowledge is recognizable. where there is pure knowledge, I don't want to use unmanifest knowledge, okay? Manifest knowledge, pure knowledge. Please use only these two words. Manifestation of knowledge is available for recognition. Where there is pure knowledge, it is not available for recognition. So when it is not available for recognition, we mistake it for non-existence. If we say this consciousness in and through pervades this all the walls here, will you believe? But the fact is it first pervades. Consciousness, pure knowledge pervades everything. But is not recognizable. Non-recognizability is mistaken for non-existence. But where is consciousness available for recognition? Where there is manifestation, there alone it is available for recognition. So in living beings, consciousness is available for recognition. In what form? As manifest knowledge. As manifest consciousness. Pure knowledge is available for recognition as manifest knowledge in living beings. So in all the living beings, Jivanam Sarvabhutesh, Bhagavan says in one of the verses, I am the life in all the beings, means what? When you see any physical form and there is life, how do you know there is life is there? There is life in the being. Because the person is moving up and down, running around, the movement is there. The physical body is moving around because all the functions are happening. The sense powers are functioning, the karmendriyani are functioning, physiological functions are happening, all the functions are happening, therefore the physical form is moving around. In every living, even the immobile being also, even the plant also, there is life. Life is means functions are happening. In a limited way, isn't it? So functions are happening means what? Functions cannot happen if there is no order involved in the function. The functions are there because there is an order involved in the functions. And the order is there in the functions means order definitely is backed by knowledge. Now your own heart is functioning. It's a function of circulation. And who instructs this heart to pump? Who is instructing? And there is an order involved in that function of circulation. That order is there. That is why a department of cardiology is possible. There is no order. They can't study. The very fact they are studying how the kidneys are functioning, the way how they function. There is an order involved in the function of your own kidneys. Order involved in your lungs. Isn't it? The pulmonology or the nephrology or any cardiology, any ology, any thing is possible because there's order involved in every there's an order involved. Because without being instructed by us, the functions are happening means the involuntary functions are happening because there's an order involved. And in every function, there's a given order involved. It can't function differently. Why it functions the way it functions? Swami used to say, why the nose is right in front of you, not at the back? Imagine the nose was at the back. Every time you had to see the coffee, you had to take it back to see the flavor, bring it back. It would have been inconvenient. Swamiji's example, just make it. I miss Swami sometimes. He used to ask like this. Why? Because, see, why every organ functions the way it functions? Why it can't function differently? Bhagavan would have asked us how he want to do it. No, because there's already an order involved, perfect order involved. And that order is backed by knowledge. Who teaches the heart how to pump the blood? Who the kidneys how to push out all the urine? Isn't it? Means that knowledge backing the art. I don't see the knowledge through physical eyes, but I understand the knowledge being manifest. Understand the knowledge being manifest. That knowledge is Ishvara. That manifest knowledge is what? Understand? There's manifestation of knowledge. So in a plant you see this knowledge. We don't teach how the plant how to absorb their water from the roots, through the roots. How to have photosynthesis. The functions are happening. We don't need to teach any insect or bird how to fly, how to build its nest. Every living creature is blessed with adequate knowledge to live its life means there's already knowledge. Everything lives because it survives, which means there are functions, there's order and backed by the knowledge. And that knowledge you can't see through physical eyes, you can understand the knowledge being manifest. I'm repeating 100 times. I don't know how many times I would have told this. But manifest knowledge is what? It is this pure knowledge which you arrive at as your own Swarupam, which pervades everywhere, and wherever it is manifest, that manifest knowledge is the pure knowledge originally, which you can recognize not as an object, as the truth of the knower. Is it clear what I'm saying? Does it make sense? And non-living things, the same knowledge is there. Why we don't see? There's no manifestation. Knowledge is, there's no manifestation. Therefore, it is not recognizable. Because we don't recognize, we think it is not there. Is it clear? So what I want you to understand, the pure knowledge is non-interactable, non-imperceptible, non-enjoyable. So non-interactability should not be mistaken for non-existence. The knowledge manifest is the manifest universe shines. This then available, everything is available for enjoyment. Therefore, what Shastram says is, this half knowledge, why there is samsara? What is samsara? Samyak sarati samsara. This cycle, life is a cycle of births and deaths. And it keeps on moving. You are born, being ended with the body, mind's complex, having this half knowledge. This adhyasaha, adhyaropaha, then asha, then karma, perform actions, then the results, then there's a punya papa, again you are born again to exhaust the punya papa. It's a continuous. Again, parabdha ends, the death comes. Parabdha ends, death comes. Again, the new hita parabdha, you are born again. So we have unexhausted results of karma from beginningless time. Therefore, there is a sanchita karma. The portion of sanchitam is exhausted in the present life. The present life itself is determined by the parabdha. The birth and parentage and what you go through in this present life. And so death, everything is pardoned by parabdha. And we are exhausting the parabdha, accumulating new agami also. It's a constant, continuous, there's going to be panchitam, parabdha, agami, there'll be continuously, there'll be karma phalam. It's called a beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths. And here we have to go through pairs of opposites. It's called samsara. And how? This is bondage, because you have no choice. What is, we have to understand there is a problem of samsara. Which means, without your choice, you did not choose to be born, you are born, and without your choice, what you have no choice, you can't choose not to die also, and this helplessness is called what? Bondage. In between also you had to go through pains and pleasures, pairs of opposites. This is called bondage, okay? And this bondage is, Shastram says, this bondage will be How long? Endless. As long as ignorance is, so long this samsara will continue. Once you're born, nothing wrong can be born. But still, you have to go through pairs of opposites in keeping with punya papa you have in your account. This is continuous, endless. And how can we resolve this? How can I free myself from bondage? So he has to say, only if ajnanam is the cause of the samsara, jnanam is the only solution. So if we understand what this I am is, this knowledge of existence, obtaining in the form of a thought, knowledge of existence of one's own self in terms of I am, this knowledge is obtained from a thought. It is there, when it is there called waking state. There's a time it is not there, we call it a deep sleep state. And where does this knowledge is obtained from a thought rise from? Where does it exist? Where does it resolve? If you understand the source of knowledge, you have arrived at what I am. Okay? You see, where does the wave rise from? What is this wave? Where does it rise from? Where does it exist? Where does it resolve? You have found it. Oh, wave is water. Wave is water means knowledge of wave is complete. What I am, I have to say what I am is. It will be much clearer. What I am, you discover, is I am is knowledge of existence of one's own self, obtaining in the human thought. It rises, it's manifestation of knowledge, and then it is there, it resolves. That is the power of knowledge. Okay? It resolves, there's pure knowledge. When it is there, it's manifest knowledge. And the pure knowledge is implied by the term Brahma or Atma. It means Aham Atma. I am Atma or I am Brahma. Aham Brahma Asmi. Knowledge is complete. Complete knowledge. What happens? The wrong error in the perception is corrected. And you will not mistake anymore the body minus complex for the self. You become objective towards the forms. Then the physical problems will not become your problems. Then all the wrong notions you have about yourself also will resolve. Ahankara will resolve. You cannot give up ahankara. Okay? Ahankara will resolve by itself in the wake of the knowledge. That's why in Vedanta Shastra's teaching, we never say give up ahankara. You are not holding on to ahankara for you to give up ahankara. Understand what ahankara is, ahankara will resolve. But ahankara, wrong notion you have about yourself will resolve means what? You understand you cannot become bigger than what you are. You are the big person. Isn't it? That is why you don't become big. You don't become full. You don't become happy. You are already fullness. You are of the nature of fullness and happiness. In knowing what you are, you can only take ownership of what you are already. Then, and even all the notions, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, all the wrong notions you have about yourself will resolve. When they resolve, then where is the punyam, where is the papam? And who has sukham, dukkham? Instead of saying, I have sorrow, I am sorrowful, the sorrow is me. I am distinct from everything. So this is what freeing oneself from the hold of everything. you see yourself being free. For in knowledge there is freedom, ignorance there is bondage. So what is it which causes this now? It is this power of knowledge, which alone manifests as threefold gunas, threefold powers. The manifest three powers, threefold powers, manifest or look upon threefold gunas. And here there is, the knowledge is manifest, the whole, everything here shines, and the whole attention is drawn towards these things. Beings here, then this is how the whole world, human beings in this world are deluded because of this half knowledge. So half ignorance, understand now, this half ignorance is the root cause of delusion. Delusion means lack of discriminative knowledge is called mohaha. Mohaha means avivekaha. Avivekaha means lack of discriminative knowledge. There is no discriminative knowledge. You do not know what is real, what is not real. What is satyam, what is mithya, you do not know. Or you mistake the mithya for satyam. You know. And you mistake this world as a source of happiness and security. Because you do not know that you are the only source of happiness and security. You do not even know what you are. Therefore, you mistake the world as a source of happiness and security. And you see yourself as a limited individual. The perception of yourself also is wrong. Perception of the world also is wrong. Therefore, you become dependent on the world for happiness and security. It's called dependence. Again, there's only disappointment, and there's unhappiness, there's sorrow, there are frustrations, there are failures. These are samsara is. Okay, mohitam. So, jagat mohitam na abhijanati. But what happens now? You do not know that what is this, what is the truth of all these forms, names and functions which constitute the whole jagat. You do not know. You do not know what is the truth of even this I. You know what the truth of I am, and you have understood the truth of the whole, all the forms, names and functions. Because you do not know, there is delusion, mohitam. The world is mohita, means the people of this world are deluded and not knowing what is distinct, param, what is absolute, what is distinct from this, what is param avyayam. In this changing world of objects, what is changeless reality? The thoughts are changing, the physical form changes, undergoes changes, external objects changes, states of mind changes, keep on changing. But what is that one unchanging truth, having which, as the adhishtanam, all the changes happen? So, mam yebhyah param means, the world does not know me, the changeless reality, which is superior and distinct from all these changing forms. Mohitam jagat mam yebhyaha param na abhijanati.
Tribhir-guna-mahir-bhavair-ebhis-sarvam-idam jagat. Ebhis-sarvam-idam jagat. Mohitam nabhijanati. Mamebhyav-paramauyayam. Mamebhyav-paramauyayam.
See, there's so much attention has been drawn towards the objective world, isn't it? We remain engrossed in the enjoyment of pleasures. the artha is needed for our the wealth, the assets. The artha is needed for living this life. The artha becomes, artha is mistaken as source of happiness and security. The pleasure to enjoy becomes a source of security and happiness. I'm mistaken. Why? We do not know what is the source of happiness and security. We do not even know what is the end. This is how ignorance, what is there relatively, isn't it? This ignorance is actually, it is this power of knowledge which gives rise to, it paves way for the delusion. Now he says, Daivi Hesha Gunamayi. Mama Maya Duratyaya. Mame Vaye Prapadyante. Maya Me Tam Tarantite. Daivi Hesha Gunamayi. Mama Maya Duratyaya. Mame Vaye Prapadyante. Maya Me Tam Tarantite. Therefore, Bhagavan says, see, the samsaraha is because of this maya. If you understand what maya is, maya will disappear. You see, that's why inexplicable power of the reality. Really, it is not something non-countable as a parallel reality. What is actually there is only the reality, which is pure knowledge, pure consciousness, implied by the term Brahman, which is of the nature of limitlessness. Now he says, Yesha Gunamayi Maya. Yesha Gunamayi Maya. This Maya, this power of knowledge, let me use the word power, okay? This power of knowledge known by the term Maya. Okay? It's exactly like saying the stillness of water can be looked upon as the power of water. The stillness undergoes a change for the verbs to come, be there. Similarly here, the power of the reality. The power of reality known by the term Maya. Don't stretch the grossest example. Okay, very gross example. The power of reality known by the term Maya is Gunamayi. Alone is in the form of threefold gunas. And it is Daivi. Now why Daivi? Devaha is another word for Ishwaraha. The Lord is called Devaha. Now who is Lord again? Who is Ishwaraha? Ishwaraha is a qualification attributed to the reality which is of the nature of knowledge. The pure consciousness, pure knowledge is not Ishwara. But Ishwara is pure consciousness. Why? Ishwara is a name attributed to the reality, the pure consciousness. And the reality is of the nature of knowing. Therefore, it's called what? Devaha, effulgence. Devaha means effulgence. The consciousness also is known by the term effulgence, because just as effulgence illumines, the effulgence of the light, you know, illumines everything, now absolute light which illumines the darkness and light, knowledge, ignorance and knowledge, isn't it? The absolute knowledge which illumines ignorance and knowledge is what? Absolute light. For knowledge also is reality, the consciousness also is said to be what? Effulgence. Self-effulgent reality. Therefore it is known by the term Devaha. Devaha actually means lamp. That which illumines is Devaha. Divyati iti Devaha. That which illumines is Devaha. For here we say, Bhagavan is called, Ishvara is called Devaha, because Deva, Bhagavan is, Ishvara is essentially of the nature of knowledge, consciousness. And the power, anything pertaining to Deva is called Daivi. You see, Maya is a feminine gender word. Daivam, Daivi, Daivaha means anything pertaining to Deva is called Daiva. Neuter gender word, Daivam. Masculine Daivaha, feminine Daivi. So Maya is a feminine gender word. So power of the reality. Reality is Devaha. And the power of reality is what? Daivi. So Daivi means divine, they'll say. The power of the reality, you got a divine. Why? Because power of the reality, the consciousness. Chichaktihi. Daivi yesha gunamayi daivi shaktihi. Okay, maya duratyaya, very difficult to cross. Thank God Bhagavan does not say it's impossible to cross. It's not impossible to cross, definitely it is duratyaya. Not anatyaya, okay? It is duratyaya, very difficult to overcome. Therefore he says, yesha gunamayi mama mama yesha daivi gunamayi maya duratyaya. This divine power of mine, considering a threefold gunas, is very difficult to overcome. Cross. But is it possible at all to overcome or not? It is possible. You know what it is? Overcoming Maya, understanding what is there is only knowledge, is resolving the Maya. Resolving Maya is overcoming Maya. Secret. Okay. What is there is only knowledge. If you understand, Maya will disappear. You can't search for Maya afterwards. It's called resolving Maya. In the wake of knowledge of the truth, being pure knowledge, Maya will resolve for good. Maya is not destroyed. Maya will resolve for good. And you will search, oh, it's only knowledge. Where is Maya? Oh, there's no Maya. That is why Yama Sa Maya. The power of reality which seems to, you know, which seems to be there, when you search for it to resolve, that's why it's called, it's known by the term Maya. Aghatita Ghatana Patiyasi Maya. I mean that which is not is Maya. That which is not is Maya. Ya, ma, sa, Maya. That which is really not. That which is as though. Aghatita ghatana patiyasi Maya. Okay, I'll tell you next other class. In our class I'll tell you. If I go, they learn, understand. Is it clear now? Duratyaya, But is it how to overcome this now? How to overcome this? How to cross this maya? How to free ourselves from the bondage of samsara? Bhagavan says, Te yetam mayam taranti. Those people definitely cross this maya. They crossing this maya means being capable of resolving this maya. Okay. They cross this maya. Te yetam mayam taranti. It's likened to a huge ocean, samsara. How to free ourselves from this? Because beginningless, endless. Cycle of births and deaths. This samsara will continue as how long? Endless. As long as ajnanam is there, ignorance is there, continue. That's why it's endless. It's likened to an ocean. Yeta mayam taranti. They cross this ocean of samsara. They cross maya. How? Very delusive, isn't it? Who? Te yeta mayam taranti. Those people alone definitely cross this maya. Who? Ye mam eva prapadyante. Those who surrender to me, those who take refuge in me, those who worship me, the literal meaning. Okay? Sharanagatihi prapattihi. The words you have to understand. Those who surrender to me, who take refuge in me, those who are committed to me. Okay? Actually, those who are committed to the pursuit of knowledge of the truth, me. Ye mam eva prapadyante. Prapadyante is a verb. Prapattihi noun. Those surrendered to me, they alone can cross the ocean of samsara. They alone can free themselves from the bondage of samsara. Mameva prapadyante. They alone cross this maya. Now here, now the next thing is, mameva prapadyante. Those who attain me. Prapadyante, those who attain me. Those surrendered to me, those refuge in me, they cross the ocean of maya. So prapattihi is a noun. Saranagatihi is another meaning, synonym of the word is prapattihi. So does it mean simply worshipping the Lord? Does it mean simply praying to the Lord? No. Here, does not mean simply worshipping the Lord, praying to the Lord. Attaining the Lord, again, we cannot attain the Lord also, because never is Lord away from us. How can you attain the Lord who is always inseparable from you, who is there as very you, very Surupam? Wave can never attain the water. Because wave is never away from water. Similarly, you are never away from Bhagavan. Bhagavan is never away from you. You cannot even exist without Bhagavan. You are here saying, I am, because Bhagavan is. Bhagavan alone is there as very you. You can never attain Bhagavan. Therefore, knowing, understanding your own Swarupam, being Bhagavan, is attaining Bhagavan in terms of knowledge. It's called prapattihi. Bhagavat prapattihi, Bhagavat charanagatihi means attaining Lord through knowledge. Attainment of Lord in terms of knowledge. So discovering Bhagavan as your own Swarupam. Or discovering your own Swarupam, being Bhagavan. The truth which is given Bhagavan's status, Ishwara's status, is attainment of Bhagavan. And in attaining the knowledge of the truth, you will see yourself being non-separate from Bhagavan. You will see already being one with Bhagavan. You can never become Bhagavan, you can never attain Bhagavan, you are already non-separate from Bhagavan. Once you discover Bhagavan Swarupam as your own Swarupam, then what will be there? What will be your perception then? Your perception changes. I am the truth, this world also is the truth. All that is there is only the truth, which is Jnanam. All that is, there is only Jnanam, only the truth, and all that is, there is only Bhagavan. And this vision of all that is, there is only Bhagavan means there is neither I nor this world. Relatively, I am the world is, absolutely, there is neither I am nor is there world. And this is called what? Offering oneself to Bhagavan. Cognitively offering oneself to Bhagavan is called Sharana, absolute Sharanagati. It's called Prapatti. Sharanagati is not simply saying, I am surrendering myself to Bhagavan. No. Being blessed with this vision of the fact that all that is there is only Bhagavan, only the truth. There is no I absolutely. There is no the world absolutely. What is, there is only Bhagavan. And this, so discovering the truth of the whole as truth of one's own self, seeing oneself being non-separate from Bhagavan, the whole, is what? Resolving at the physical level also, resolving the individuality in totality. Cognitively appreciating the fact of oneself really being non-separate from Bhagavan the whole. This is absolute Sharanagati, absolute Prapatti, where for the person of vision of Bhagavan, what is, there is only Bhagavan, there is no I. This is what is Ahankara Nasha. You know, there is no real, you cannot kill Ahankara, cannot give up Ahankara. If the cognitive appreciation of I being not there really is what? Resolving Ahankara. This is Saranagati, this is Prapatti. And if at all there is any other Saranagati you want to talk, people don't like this, okay? Saranagati means they want, Swamiji says, they want to go and massage Bhagavan's feet. Such Saranagati is not possible. You know, people want to. That is, they want to feel little. Again, some superiority complex comes. You're all there away. I'm standing very close to Bhagavan, you know, pressing his feet. I had the privilege, the honor of being able to do massage for Bhagavan's feet. And you also have to stand outside sanctum sanctorum. Such problems are not here. If at all there's any other surrender Saranagati, that is only relative Saranagati, that is also there only when you really cognitively appreciate Bhagavan being manifest as the universal, natural, moral law and order. Understanding Bhagavan as Dharma and knowing what, remembering your knowledge of right and wrong and making use of your will to do the right, to refrain from the wrong. Thereby, when your actions are in conformity with Dharma, you do not transgress the Dharma, which means whether you like it or not, you do the right, whether you like it or not, you avoid the wrong means. Your will is surrendered to Bhagavan in the form of Dharma. And that is called relative Sharanagati. In living a life of Dharma, in fact, consciously living a life of values, is surrendering one's will to Bhagavan in the form of order, which is called relative Sharanagati. Absolute Sharanagati is offering one's own self to Bhagavan. And it's not physical offering, it's cognitively resolving one's individuality in totality. Seeing that one's own self being essentially pure knowledge, which is Bhagavan Para Prakriti. Isn't it? Where are we? Para and apara prakritis are there. Nowhere is para prakriti, no one is apara prakriti. Which are, what is you here? Where are you? Which is you here? Everything is Bhagavan, isn't it? The nowhere is dissolved in para prakriti. One is dissolved in apara prakriti. And you disappear here. Which is you? Nowhere is dissolved in para prakriti. No one is dissolved in apara prakriti. Which is here? Where is the individual here? Isn't it? You are not there. You had to see in the very class, you had to see this fact. It doesn't happen overnight. This has to be dwelt upon, assimilated. Bhagavan says, Maya Duratyaya. It is not easy to cross this Maya. Even though it is not impossible to cross, it is definitely possible to cross, but difficult to cross, for which you have to resolve your very eye sense. Discover what I am, and then the truth of I, that is how Bhagavan Swarup is available for you to discover. Discover Bhagavan, resolve the individual, yourself. That's called Mameva Ye Prapadyante. Only those who are committed to the attainment of Bhagavan in terms of knowledge, and those who seek, understand Bhagavan being the only source of happy security, those are committed to Bhagavan, and they alone can cross this ocean of Maya, samsara. Otherwise, what happens? It is very difficult. People may worship the Lord, pray to the Lord, but still they go and pray to the Lord also, but they pray for Arthakamas. Nothing wrong, you can pray for Arthakama, pray to the Lord, pray for Arthakamas, no problem. You need Arthakamas for living this life, but you should know Bhagavan, in truth, is the only source of happiness and security. You should also pray for Jnanam, isn't it? We pray for Arthakamas, why? We think, if I have Arthakamas, I can be happy. That's what is delusion. It's difficult. It's not that easy at all. Therefore, Duratyaya. So, Mameva Ye Bhagavan makes very clear, this is what is samsara, this is how Maya is. In fact, ignorance is the root cause of a samsara, and here ignorance can be resolved. Resolving your ignorance is resolving, freeing yourself from what? Maya, which is resolving the Maya also. Resolving your avidya, ajnanam, is resolving the Maya. Understanding what is there is only jnanam, Brahma, Bhagavan. And seeing yourself being already free. You need not change anything outside here. All that is needed is the perspective has to be changed. Isn't it? And the error in the perception is caused by this what? This ajnanam. Therefore, the avidya, we say here, it is this maya which causes the delusion, lack of discriminative knowledge. This mohitam, moha, caused by this maya alone. Therefore, it is possible to definitely to cross this maya, for which you need only to attain Bhagavan in terms of knowledge. Mam eva ye prapadyante. So come only to knowledge of the truth, which is Bhagavan. Other than jnanam, nothing will help you. This is what, to make a person go to study Bhagavad Gita, Shankara Bhagavad Pada has to write Bhaja Govindam. Simple, he has to sing, isn't it? Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Govindam, Bhaja Modamate. Govindam, Bhaja, Govindam, Bhaja, Govindam, Bhaja. He has it 3 times to make us listen. Why? Nahi nahi rakshati, nothing will protect you. Mom, eva ye prapadyante, isn't it? Nothing will protect you. Therefore, what is protection itself has to be understood. It is why having this maya resolved for good is only through jnanam, which is resolving your ignorance also. That's why ajnanam, karanam, jnanam is the sadhanam. The knowledge is the means. I think we all must be hungry. Please eat and come back. We'll continue.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.